Now, I do have another problem. You probably have two sheets, but they're really not two sheets. One is a major section of Haggadah, and the other are two Mishnayot in Masechet Sachim. It's something that I started a few years ago, and I keep improving on it from year to year. That is the awesome structure of the Haggadah. The Haggadah is a masterful sefer. In a conversation I had with Rabbi Baruch Tau, who's here on Wednesdays, he said that he saw Medrash, some place that I have not yet been able to confirm, but I trust him, that in the Yohan Navi is the one who authored the Haggadah. Never heard anyone saw it in my life. But if he says it, and it plays well in Peoria, it's okay with me. But it's awesome. I'm going to go through the two Mishnayot quickly, because we have to save time and energy for the Haggadah itself. Number one, Mosbolo Kosheni. We are already past Kiddush. That's the Mishnayot sheet. You should have two. You should have a Haggadah page and you should have a Mishnayot page. There's no way to staple them together. Number one, it's after Kiddush. And you know, not only is it after Kiddush, I think that we've already said, V'alach v'anya, v'yachol avosonam, v'yarol in Yisrael. We said, V'alach v'anya, we've invited everybody into the house, we're getting ready for the Seder. What do you do after that? Mosbu, Lokosu, Shani, they poured the second cup for the head of the household. By the way, Mosbu doesn't really mean pour. The way they used to drink wine, they used to have wine concentrate that in and of itself was so powerful, it was something akin to what we knew in Williamsburg and in on the east side is non-anansika, you understand? 99% proof schnapps. A killer for everybody except all even over 95. Who were able to drink it.
If they could live that long, they could go home.
Anyway, the wine was a concentrate, and you usually mixed it with three or four cups of water. In other words, three times more with water. Mosul, so now you've prepared the wine, the Kana ben Shoel. And here, the son asks, after you pour the second kos, the son asks, you may dar. But then, if the son doesn't have intelligence, doesn't have the intelligence to ask, the aim, dar, but then, Ovid Milando, his father teaches him. His father teaches him, and what does he ask? Why is this night different than all other nights? And as you know, in previous years, we've already explained that I read it slightly differently, where the Malbim does. My, how different this night is than all other nights. My is not really a question. Madua is a question. Loma is a question, but Ma is an expression of wow, wonder. He named Matov Umanoim Sheratachim Gam Yachad. Matov Olecho Yaakov. My, how goodly are your tents, O Yaakov. That's the real meaning of the word Ma. The child says, ah, wow, is this night different than all the nights? So the all nights and here we eat both chametz and matzah. All right, I said, cool, all matzah. This night is only matzah. So the following is only one from the short yerach osam. All nights we can eat any vegetables you want. But halayla, I said, tonight the focus is on moror bitter herbs. Now this, the next question, is one that was only said during the time of the Beit HaMikdash when the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, was brought. We don't say it. We've substituted something else in its place. But this is what they said, And yes, Hashem, we will say it as well. All of the nights of the year we can eat meat that is roasted, or shaluk is very heavily cooked, and the mushal is no cooking. But halayla said, tonight we only eat cold tzli, it's all roasted. The korban pesach had to be roasted in one piece, on the spit. Shebechol alayla, so the matbil tamachat, but every day, every night we dunk. But once, halayla said, stay calm, and this night we do it twice. What is it? It's the vegetable, the potato into the salt water, and then it's going to be the moror into the charoses. Ulefidatos will ben ovin melanda. What an important and significant sentence. You have to teach a child according to his level of intelligence. You think this is not a fiddish? I think it's a very big fiddish. There are enough people, you know, when I hear parents tell me that, my six-year-old, what he can do with Lego, he's a genius. And when I hear the word genius, I get scared for the poor mother and the poor kid. Take it easy. Everybody has to be educated according to stages, step by step. The child has to wait for the moment of readiness, and then you take him from one stage to the next. Lefidato shel ben, according to the intelligence and the level of maturity of the son, you're supposed to teach it. Another four words that are great. Matkil b'gnut u'misayim b'shevach. The story has to begin with the past, the unsavory and the difficult days of our history, and then we end with the days of great praise. The story does not begin with "and they lived happily ever after." The story of the Seder has to begin with "once upon a time, never." Jews were in a terrible, terrible gulus. A gulus by Egyptians, and they suffered terribly. And then ultimately God took them out. Matchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shevach. I always say this with regard to the Six-Day War. Our children, unfortunately, if they know about the Six-Day War, don't be so sure. And I can talk to you. We're the same age, you know. We've been through a great deal of life together. They know the end of the story. In 6 days, there was a great victory. In order to understand the story of the Six-Day War, you have to feel May of 1967 before you can begin to appreciate the awesome miracle of June of 1967. That's the way the story has to be told on the night of the Seder, and we'll see. The Doresh Me'arami Oved Avi. Now, you can understand this better when we hopefully get to it in the Haggadah. Avrami Oved Avi is Parsha Ki Tovo in Sefer Devarim. The Parsha begins, when you come to the land, Ki Tovo L'Oretz, you'll come to the land that God gives you. By the way, only God gives you land. Eretz Yisrael is given to you only by God. Nobody else gives you anything. God is the one who gives us Eretz Yisrael. And it is He whom we thank, but we have appreciation, and we are grateful people. Grateful. And so there, the parasha says that when you come to the land and you work the land, you have first fruits, you're supposed to bring them to Yerushalayim, usually around Shavuos time, and stand before the Kohen and say, there's a formula to be said. Everybody had to say it when you stood before the Kohen. Arami Oved Avi. Lavan, the Arami, wanted to destroy my father. It's really those few psukim in Parsha Ki Tovo are a condensed history, a condensed story of Jewish history. In the Haggadah, What we do is Dodesh. We take each word or phrase of that parasha and we elaborate on it. That, by the way, is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the mitzvah to relate the story of Egypt on the night of Pesach, begins from Arami Oved Avi, from there. And what we're going to see is what is all this that's being said from Avodim Hayinu and further. Ad Sheyigmar Kol HaParsha Kul, until you finish the entire parsha of Arami Oved Avi. One of the golden oldies, classic shiurim of Rabbi Shalom Gold is the question that we don't finish the whole parasha. Because the last pasuk of the parasha is left out. The last pasuk of the parasha says, you know, now you brought us there, it's your soul, and we thank you for it. You're going to have to go to RabbiSholomGold.com, this room is two O's, no A. Okay. And that shear will appear there. But all right, I'm confusing you. Let's turn over the page. And if it came out upside down, just turn it around. My machine was playing tricks on me. Then the Leo Yahweh. In the last two sentences of the previous Mishnah, we were told the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What do we do after Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So Rav Gamliel used to say, "Kosul Olam Ashlosh and Korim Elu Pesach." Whoever did not say these three things on Pesach, Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavasi, you haven't fulfilled it. You have to make sure whatever goes on at the Seder, you must say that. Ve'elohein, you have to give the reasons for Pesach. For matzah and more Pesach, Al Shem Shepasach Hamakom Al Batei was said in Mitzrayim. Pesach is in order to commemorate that the Holy One, blessed be He, passed over the houses of our fathers in Egypt. Matzah Al Shem, why we eat matzah? We should be the Lord said in Mitzrayim because our fathers were redeemed from Egypt. So the matzah really represents two things. Most important, it's called the bread of poverty, and that's all. We ate matzah in Mitzrayim. And then of course there's the pasuk in Torah that says that we left Mitzrayim in such haste that the dough we had with us was not able to ferment, so we ended up with matzahs. And then maror. Why do we eat maror? The Egyptians embittered the lives of our fathers in Egypt. Golos by goyim is a bitter golos. Golos by Jews, give me more of it. I'll take any eating to Shabbat. I'll love it. Then, of course, the whole Dor Ador, and we say this with our God in every generation, and this paragraph of the whole Dor Ador is the end of the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And it's an extremely significant paragraph. Bechol Dor Ador, Chayavod and Liris Hatzmo, Kiilu Yotzim Mitzrayim, in every generation, the person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. You have to relive the Pesach experience. Shenemar says, tell your son on that day, saying, to fulfill these mitzvahs, God did it to me when I went out of Egypt. The significance of the whole double of this last paragraph is immeasurable. Because what it really does is, in one single fell swoop, it takes the entire story of the Exodus from Egypt and turns it into a modern story. If all you're going to do is talk about what happened in Egypt and not relate it to today, like, no, what was, and that's it. No. We have to know that the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, and God's salvation of the Jewish people is an ongoing story. We've been through rough times, but he's been there with us and he has taken us to the Lord. And right after that we say, Lefichach, therefore, the Rishon did you a great act of kindness for heaven's sake. Thank him. Did I sound upset enough? I was. Don't deny and reject God's kindness. Medina. Yeah. I'm on the warpath, so you just have to tolerate me and take it with a grain of salt, okay, down boy, take it easy. Okay. Lefichach, therefore, anachnu chayavim, our obligation is lahodos, lahalil, lishabel, lefoel, lerenim, lahadel, levorech, lahale, lukalis. You hear that? I don't even know the translation of all of these words. I can't find different words. To praise, lahalel, to be mishabeach, what a perfect translation. It couldn't get better. The fire to glorify God. The roman to raise and uplift him. Lahader, make him beautiful. Zekeli bambeu. This is my God, and I shall exalt him. Levorech and bless him. La'ale l'chalsim misha, also of the saying of alone to the one who did to our fathers and us, it's called Amisim Ha'ela, all of these miracles. He took us out, the Avdus L'cheres, from slavery to freedom, miyagon, from depression and sadness, l'simcha, to joy, umei evil, and from mourning, he took us out to yontif, umei afelo, from darkness, l'or gadol, to great light, umei shivud, and from enslavement, l'geula. No matter from now, hallelujah. Before him, we shall say hallelujah. Okay. By the way, I have not yet brought this morning's New York Times Jerusalem Post. How do I say that? I'm washing my mouth. Wait a minute. Okay. Okay. There's a very awesome article today. This has been a subject I said sure about years ago. It's something that I've studied and read and reread about. The Battle of El Alamein. Mm-hmm. At the end of October 1942, Rommel's forces were banging down the doors to come into Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that the German forces were racing through Russia, Operation Barbarossa, so that they should be able to come around and attack Eretz Yisrael from the north. And then they had a little delay at a place called Stalingrad. So here it is, Stalingrad, El Alamein. And they mention the thrust of the article is about the Mufti, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Haj Amin al-Husseini, who was an ally of Hitler, spent the war years in Berlin. He was planning the construction of concentration camps in Eretz Yisrael, not far from Nablus. He was planning the concentration camps with cyclone gas and all the rest in a number of Arab countries in the Middle East. He was planning on the final solution of the Jewish people. Understand? And by the gates of Eretz Yisrael came Hitler's first defeat in the Second World War. They didn't break through at El Alamein. This I talked about in the past, everybody thinks it was a Field Marshal Montgomery. Okay, he was a great general, there's no question about it, and we have an appreciation for all the rest. But there were 500 Palestinian Jews, the Palestinians, the original Palestinians, in the Sahara Desert, who held up Rommel's forces for 30 days. And in those 30 days, the British, the Canadians, and the Aussies brought in all sorts of equipment to Tobruk, to get ready to fight the Rommel. 500 Palestinian Jews. At the end of the month, only 45 remain alive. 45 remain alive. The rest of the story, you know, that's already something that I get so choked up, or I get so choked up. On the last day of the month, they've had it. They see a column of troops coming in trucks, lorries, and there's a jeep at the head. And the jeep stops, and there's a French tricolor on the jeep. And here's the commander of the 45 bedraggled, hardly alive Palestinians meet up with the French. The commander of the French asks him, "What's that you're holding in your hand?" Showed him it was a Chesida, listener, Jewish flag. So he tells him, "You're sitting here next to me. That flag goes here, onto the lead jeep. You know the flag? The Schmuck on a Stecken, that ugly people call it, the Schmuck on a Stecken." By the way, the commander of the French forces was a fellow by the name of Pierre Koenig. So when you're in Talpiot, you should just know who Pierre Koenig was. And he has nothing to do with Givat Tzarfatit. That's a misnomer of all. Nobody knows what that's about, and that's not for this year. I mentioned the Jerusalem Post this morning. We don't even begin to know what great kindness God did for us. They were preparing for the final solution of the Jewish people right here in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. We're learning the Haggadah now. And I'm going to tell you in advance exactly where I'm going. I'm going to tell you exactly where we're going so that we can race through it more quickly. So let's go. First of all, we have Ho'achman, the Haggadah. You have big ones, there are little ones, there are medium-sized ones. The Haggadah. Ho'achman. Everybody knows Ho'achman. This, we stand up and we show the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Anybody who is hungry, come in. Anybody who needs, come and celebrate Pesach with us. Hashata Acha. This year we are here. L'shona Havoha Ba'arod Yisrael. Next year in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, boy, next year. When we say it, of course, you know, we have. I think we should have in mind something next year our brothers and sisters in the Kutzar should have the brains to know that this is the place to come. And this brings back to me what caused me terrible, terrible aggravation last year. And this was an article in another one of those magazines about a rabbi in America writes the most difficult thing he has is when he has to explain to his congregation. All right, you know what, I'm gonna say it's in Mishpacha. It was in Mishpacha magazine. I know his name and I'm not going to say it. I'm not even going to tell you his initials. Anyway, he writes there that the most difficult thing he has is to explain to the members of his congregation, L'shona haba b'Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. So I start reading, I don't know, what's the man talking about? I don't know. She says, You should remember the words, I said them to you so many times last year. As the bitter golus continues unabated, how can we say, L'shona Bobby Lushon? I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know, should I tear clear? Should I tear clear? What should I do with myself? I didn't know what to do with myself. And then my second thought was, the guy's a safe, if I'd not, I have to let him get me upset. Well, I hope they watch this in New York. Okay. Anyway, Hashata Avde, this year we are enslaved. And the enslavement that we're talking about now is that, yes, there is a degree of enslavement. There's a whole world out there. And the world has great plans for us.
But they don't have a clue how they're going to go about doing it.
Never a pity on them. They plan our destruction, and their salvation stands with us. Oh, God, he's great. God is great. Then we have, okay, we have the Mamishtana. Then, next paragraph. Avodim Ayinu L'Faro V'Mitzrayim. You know what happens in this first paragraph? What's going to be spelled out is, you should know that there is a mitzvah on the night of Pesach to relate the story with being told that basic halachic fact. Avodim Ayinu L'Faro V'Mitzrayim with his servants to Paro in Egypt. By noting, Hashem Elokeinu Rishon and God, our God took us out from there. Beyach Hazaka over Israel and to you with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Would the Holy One blessed be not take, have taken us out of Egypt? We, our children, and our children's children would have still been enslaved or indebted to the Egyptians. And now, the halachas go is going to say, not only we have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but everybody has a mitzvah. And not only it's a mitzvah, but the more you relate, the more reward you get. And therefore it says, V'afilu kolom chachon, kolom nevenim, kolom zakenim, kolom yodim zatorah. Even if we're all wise and we're all understanding, we're all elders, makes no difference. And we all know Torah. We're all big Talmidei Chacham. Nobody has a patent on Torah. You understand? And maybe those who think so, but ain't that. Torah belongs to all of us. And even if we all know Torah, mitzvah aleinu. Here it is. This is a halacha. This is a halacha. You know what I'm going to come to? Between here and the beginning of Sifri Yitzias Mitzrayim, that the God is going to tell us the halachas of the night. In other words, it's how to. Or, you know, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim for idiots. It's all here. Everything's outlined for you. And even if we're all chachamim, mitzvah leinu l'sapa, it's a mitzvah for us to tell the story of the Exodus of Egypt. The chalamar l'sapa means Mitzrayim aleinu mishuvah. And the more that one says, what? Tell more about the story of Mitzrayim, that's praiseworthy. And then, you know how you're supposed to teach a halacha? You taught a halacha? Now you tell a story. You tell a story that illustrates the halacha. Maisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azai, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. All these great rabbis were in the Suvim in B'nai Brak. They sat down to the Seder in B'nai Brak. For you misapun be yitzias Mitzrayim kol oto alayla that whole night they related the story of the Exodus. Achshavu talmidei and v'amru lehem until their students came and said to them, Rabotenu, our rabbis, higiyaz man kriyat shma shel shachris, the time for kriyat shma shel shachris. And we have over years developed an idea that said by darshanim, by darbanim, there's something going on over here. The big question of all is, what are all these rabbis doing by the Seder of Rabbi Akiva ben Abraham? I don't know. If I had a choice between, well, they couldn't have gone to Yerushalayim then. Yerushalayim, I believe, was held by the Romans then. Couldn't have gone there. But all these rabbis lived in different places. Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lud. Rabbi Tarfon, I know, each one of them, they came to the Seder of Rabbi Akiva. And the first mess, why did they come, why did they all come there to Rabbi Akiva? So my great, the Haggadah that I love more than all others, and I'm not going to tell you why is this Haggadah different than all other Haggadahs, aside from the fact that together with my son-in-law Yehuda Goldrath, we published it a few years ago. That's not the point. That was a commercial. But he says that the rabbis were there because they wanted to express gratitude to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one who inspired them. Rabbi Akiva is the one who's able to stand on Har HaTzofim
and look down on the Beit HaMikdash that is in ruins. And a fox comes out of the Holy of Holies, and they cry, they burst into tears. Tear their garments. Rabbi Akiva is smiling. You know the famous conversation? Rabbi Akiva, why are you smiling? Rabbi Akiva turns around and says, why are you crying? So they say, what do you mean, why are we crying? That's a kasha. Here it is, the holiest of holies. But the Jewish people had, it's destroyed, it's burning. He says, that's why I'm smiling. Because if the prophecy of destruction has been fulfilled so precisely, then I have absolute faith that the great prophecy of Zechariah, that there will yet be the Zakenim and Zakenos, elderly men and women in the streets of Yerushalayim, children playing in its streets. Children playing in the streets of Yerushalayim, you understand? Now, I've made sure that my grandchildren know that Gemara, and not only know the Gemara, but they have to know that we are safer to live in an era when this is being fulfilled. I said so often, I'd love to be the one who takes Rabbi Akiva by the hand, and I take him through Yerushalayim. I once described my vision where in the mist, near the bridge of the strings, out of a cloud comes a man. I say, Shalom Aleichem Rabin. I ask him, what's your name? I'm Golda. Everybody knows me. Who are you? And he says, Akiva ben Yosef. Akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Akiva. Where am I? Rabbi Akiva asks. I tell him, you're in Yerushalayim, where are Kodesh? And there he's standing, it's a little better, get him off the middle of the street because of cars flying back on all sides. Get him off to the side, and he asks me, where are the barracks of the Roman 10th Legion? Don Rabbi Akiva. Ain't no Romans anymore. They're long gone. So he asks me, who is he? I tell him, the Yidden. Jews are here. And it's a Jewish potato. He doesn't smile. He doesn't laugh. He bursts into tears of joy. Rabbi Akiva was the one who gave hope and life, and they came to sit with him in order as a mark of appreciation for him. The Chovra of Salvation said, and then many Darshan have said it through the years, that they were planning the great revolt against Rome. And in order that the Romans shouldn't realize that some kind of a great conference taking place over here, they waited for the night of the Seder. You know, Jews go here for the Seder, go there for the Seder, you know. So these rabbis were able to make their way to the Seder, and they decided that we have to break our revolt against Rome. We cannot no longer take the yoke of Rome. But they said that, you know, it depends. We're the elders of the generation. We're not going to do the fighting. We need Yeshiva Bochum to go fight. So they gave, the question was asked of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, are you ready to go out and fight the war that has to be fought? And their signal or their code was that they came in the morning and they said the time for Kriya Shema has arrived. Kriya Shema is the great expression of accepting upon ourselves the heavenly yoke. Accepting the heavenly yoke means throwing off every other yoke. They're telling them, Rebbes, we're ready to go out and fight. Our Rav Elazar ben Azariah, let's go further. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says something in connection to Shana. What's going to be done? What's going to happen in the next paragraph is that we're going to find out when is the mitzvah by day, is the mitzvah by night. is the mitzvah now, is the mitzvah the days of Mashiach. Remember, we're defining the halacha.
I'm like 70 years old. I never was able to convince the rabbis that that Yitzias Mitzchayim should be spoken about at night. Until Bat Zoma said, you should remember the days that you went out of Egypt all the days of your life. All the days includes night. Therefore, there's a mitzvah to tell the story at night. The Chachamim say, Yemei Chayecha, this world, this era in history, all the days of your life, that comes Lahavi, Limat HaMashiach. In the time of Mashiach, we'll also be telling the story. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenosam Tevlei Aron Yisrael. Baruch Hu. Blessed is God. Blessed is He. Blessed is the one who gave Torah to our people Israel. Rav Soloveitchik says that in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, relating the story from Egypt, we also fulfilled the mitzvah of studying Torah. It's a study of Torah that's taking place at the table on the night of Pesach. Father, mother, sons, daughters, son and sister, everybody. It's a family study of Torah. If you're going to study Torah, then you have to make a bracha before you study Torah. Baruch Shenosam Torah, the lessons God gave Torah to the people, is it? There are four psukim in the Torah. Three of them are in Parshat Bo, and one is in For Et Hanan. Four psukim where it says that you should tell your son, and will come to pass when your son asks you. Why are the four psukim about this? Because the Torah is referring to four children on different levels of intelligence and piety. Chacham Ahu, what does the Chacham say? This is in Parshas Eschanan. The testimonies, the statutes of laws that God your God, Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu, our God, etchem you. V'afatam Borlo said, you tell him, Ki Hilchot HaPesach, the laws of Pesach, you know, it really means all of the halachas of Pesach, starting from the Tikkas Chametz and all the rest, until the final mitzvah, really, which is eating the Afikoman, and that following the Afikoman, we're not supposed to eat anything afterwards. And the Afikoman really represents Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach was the last thing that was supposed to be eaten by the Seder. Rosh Mahalama, what does Rosh say? What is this service unto you? Did you hear what he said? What is this service unto you? Lachem, to you, v'lo, and not him? He excludes himself? Like you Jews over there, you frilly woomies, what does this all mean to you? Because he took himself out of the community of the Jewish people. Kofar Be'ikr, he has rejected the most important fundamental principle of all, which is the principle of the existence of God. And you also, dull the sharpness of his teeth. Dull, you know, Greisa Chuchel over there. No, I'm sorry. Greisa Chucha over there. Take it easy. Molo Bavur Zeh Asar Shemli, because of all the mitzvahs that I'm doing here, that's why God did this great miracle to me. But say, Tim Yitzchayim, me, when I went out of Egypt. And you know, I'm giving it back in the face then. To me, and not to him. Not even not to you. We're not talking to him anymore. We don't talk to the Russia. The Russia has simply rejected us entirely. What does it mean to you? Okay. Ilu Hayasham, when he had been there, Lo Hayani Gal, he would not have been redeemed. I think I've told you that there were Chiddush Shabbos
that didn't like referring to the Rosh as the Rosh, so they would always refer to him as Ben Hashem, the Tzaitazim. Because you know what? You know, we don't call people the Shayim. There are some people for whom it rolls off their mouth, this guy's a Russian, that guy's a Russian. And if it's not enough a Russian, then he's a Russian in Russia. There are people out there that are, they know how to assess the level of everybody's religiosity. Okay. Okay. Tam Mahu Omer. What does the Tam say? There are different opinions what the Tam is. The Tam, to us it seems like Tam is, you know, the simpler son. There are others who say that Tam is Tomim. Yaakov was Ish Tom, Yoshev Oholim. Tomim Tiyem Hashem Olakecha. Mazas, Marta, I love. All he's interested in the facts after you take everything out. You know what we are celebrating, what we are marking this night, that because of Yarhot, Yono, Hashem, Mitzrayim, Yibet, Avodim, with a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. Shani Yidei Elisha, the one who doesn't know how to ask his cute little kid. He's a cute little kid. Yes, Hashem will be, he'll grow up, and then you won't even be able to answer all the questions that he asks you. But right now, Aksachlo, you open the conversation. Shenema, the Gadol, the Bincha, by Yamahu Lemor, you should tell your son on that day, so saying, in order that we should fulfill these mitzvahs, that's why God took us out of Egypt. Ah, so now, what do we know so far? We know that there's a mitzvah to relate the story of Egypt. We know that everybody is supposed to do it, even great wise men. And we also know that if one elaborates even more than the minimum, the more, the better. We know, of course, that it's supposed to be done at night. We know that relating the story has to be told on four different levels. You have to be able to speak to each child in his language. You can't speak to all of them in the same language. Now the question is, when? We haven't noted the date. When is the mitzvah of Sikkim Yitzchus Mitzrayim? Is it on Purim? Is it on Tisha B'Av? Is it on July 4th? When is the mitzvah? So, the Haggadah says, Yochel, I would think, maybe Rosh Chodesh, that you can fulfill the mitzvah starting with Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, Talmud Lomar. It says, by Yom Ahu. And that day, you're supposed to tell the story that day. Yochel, I would think that it has to be Mimot Yom Ahu, it's still in daylight. Talmud Lomar, Ba'avur, it says, but because of this, these mitzvahs, Lo Amarti, the story has to be told when you have matzah and morah before you and you're going to fulfill the mitzvahs. That's when you're supposed to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And the fact is that this is really, it's brilliant. In other words, what's going to happen over here the night of Pesach is the father's not simply going to tell a story, he's also going to demonstrate it. You know there's a mitzvah of matzah? I'm eating matzah. That's what I'm doing. The visual aids. Morah. That's morah. And he's going to eat morah with that. And now we are getting close to the beginning of the story. We're not yet at the story. Mitchila ovdei v'yizora hoyu avoseinu. At the very beginning, our fathers were idolaters. This already takes us back to the Mishnah, when the Mishnah said, Matchil Begenut, you start with the unsavory and unhappy periods of our history, and only afterwards are you going to arrive at the Exodus. Matchil Begenut, Umisayim Meshavach. V'achshav, and now, Kervono, Amokom Avodato, God has brought us close to his service, Shinema, Vayomi Yoshua, Koham. Yahushua, this is the sender, say to Yahushua, Yahushua said to all of the people, Kohar, Hashem, Lekei, Yisrael, says to Israel, But Abraham, nor Yahshua, I will take him all. You know, it's fascinating. What we're bringing over here from Yahushua, we are bringing what seems, which are the words of God himself telling over the story. He's telling over the story. And this is the model of how we're supposed to tell over the story. But Abraham, nor Yahshua, I will take him all. Your father's from time immemorial lived on the other side of the river, the Euphrates, out there in the Mesopotamia. Terah was the father of Avram and the father of Nahor. Avram Avinu worshipped foreign gods. How do you like that? Avram Avinu. I took your father Avram, I took him from the other side of the river. I led him through the whole land of Canaan. I made him seed, many, many. I gave the mountain of Seir. Okay, go there, and I, the Yaakov, the born of Yerushalayim, the sign, Yaakov and his sons went down to Egypt. I really like the story, it's such a beautiful story. I mean, it's a beautiful story. What I want to point out more than anything else is, it's a masterpiece of writing with the Haggadah. It's unbelievable. You have to take a look at it. There it is. All our halachos, before we even say the first word of fulfilling the mitzvah. So we are studying Torah as part of the fulfilling of the mitzvah. Baruch Shem Achach HaTol Yisrael. Blessed is the one who keeps his promise to Israel. Baruch Hu, blessed is he. Sha'akol Yisbaruch Hu, Chishim HaTaketz. Okay? That God calculated the end. He calculated the end. What end did he calculate? You'll see right away. Lasso to Moshe Amal Avraham Avinu. He calculated the end in order to do what he had said to Avraham, our father, Vibrid Bein Avatarin Pashat Lech Lecha, at the covenant between the parts. Shenema. This is what it says there. By Yom Allah Avraham, God said to Avraham, your daughter, take that you should know, Kigeri Yezarach, what your children are going to be strangers. Ve'eretz lo lahem. In a land that's not theirs. If you're in your own land, you're not a stranger. You're not in Golos. The God is over. Anybody's going to tell you. Only Eretz Lo Lahem is exile. Not Eretz Lahem. Some people have to learn how to read Hebrew. Plain Hebrew. But Eretz Lo Lahem. And by the way, you'll see right in a moment. Ta'avodim. They're going to be enslaved. They're going to torture them. 400 years. And also that nation, Asher Yarvodu, whom they will, to whom they're going to be enslaved, Don Anochi. I'm going to judge them. I'm going to take care of them. Afterwards, they're going to go out with great wealth. What was the calculation that Kodesh Baruch Hu Chishev HaKetz he calculated? Because he said you're going to be there 400 years. But they weren't there for 400 years. But you know, the question always leaves a way out. Wait a minute. I said that they're going to be in a land that's not theirs. Well, when Yitzchak was born, that's the seed of Avraham, Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to him. Let you on the secret. When Yitzchak was born, there wasn't a Yiddish Medina. There wasn't a Yiddish Medina. And when Yaakov was there also wasn't a Yiddish Medina. That's Eretz Lo Lahem. That means that you are enslaved to others. So you know, therefore, you know what the Gleshman did? He calculated the 400 years beginning with the birth of Yitzchak. Because if he would have calculated during the years of their being in Egypt, who knows what might have happened to the Jewish people. 400 years under those frightening conditions, who knows what would have happened to the Jewish people. And as really just a very quick recap, the Rechush Gadol, we talked about it last week, the great wealth that they're going to come out of Mitzrayim with is not gold and silver or dresses and suits and shmatas of Mitzrayim. The wealth that they're going to come out is with a Jewish personality of fairness, honesty, truth, mercy, compassion. That's the great wealth that we took out of Egypt with us, and that's what we have until this very day. This very day. All right. Vehi. All right, so you fill up the cup, and then hold it high. I think, do we stand for Vehi Shalna? I don't remember. That's what it says in the Nagala. And we say Vehi Shalna, what we're saying, you can of course sing it with any traditional song that you want. Of course, I'm sure a lot of people are going to pull Shweki off the, as they've been doing for the last 5-6 years. The He shall on the Lord say, "Vehi." The covenant with God is that which stood us in good stead, our fathers and us. It was not one alone who stood up against us to destroy us. Every generation, they rise against us to destroy us. And the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hands. What we have done in this one paragraph, we are taking the whole story of the past and making it relevant now. That's exactly what's going on right now. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. But I shouldn't. But I'm going to say it. There was a number of weeks running, very recently. In certain newspapers and magazines for a program called Adopt a Kol Hail. Since, of course, the Kol in there is as well, have fallen on terribly hard times because of the Tzionim and the Mizrachikis and all the rest. So the ads, they're there, they were in the paper. The ads, the heading is, "B'chol dor v'dor omdu moleinu l'chaluzeinu." In every generation they arise against us to destroy us. Then, Bennett, Lapid, Gold, the rest. What an ugly! And therefore, adopt a kollel. I got a letter from somebody who protested this ad. And the fellow who ran the ad sent him back a letter. I'll tell you, I should make sure nobody gets to my computer. What my computer has seen in the last 4 or 5 days. So the revelations of Upi. And this fellow writes, "Everything we do is with consultation with the Gedolim and Das Torah." And they saw the ad and they approved it. Baby, give me a break. That is so ugly. It's ugly beyond any ugly. So, we know exactly what it means. Behold, O Dor, Goyim, Rishayim, Rishayim arise against us to destroy us. And those who have funded Torah for the last 65 years are not the ones who are destroying. Those who created an atmosphere in this country that the greatest explosion of Torah learning should take place over here are not the destroyers of Torah. There's no terrible Xeris Shabbat going on over here. Well, let the Malachim go into Gula and tell me if we're Gullus. You're kidding me. Go into Osharad, or if you can get in, or into Rami Levi. Baby, you can't get into Rami Levi. There's a Rebbeishim, there's a Shefa of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Rebbeishim is pouring out his goodness for us like there's no end. Ashi Yivlu Sosechem Milomar, die, die, die. That's enough Torah for Shabbos HaKadosh.
All right, just another two lines, three lines, just so we get you. Here begins Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The story begins now. Say all about it. Go out and study. Go learn. Go learn what destroyers of Yiddishkeit are. Go. Get yourself a good lesson. You want to know the real stuff. The real stuff is a guy called Lover Harami. And then from Lover, we're going to take you to Mitzrayim. And you know what we're going to do? The end of the story. The end of the story is just as the whole door with door, every generation of person has to realize that they rise up against us to destroy us. So too, the whole door with door, every generation, we have to see ourselves as though we went out of Egypt. We're free. We can be the masters of our own destiny. Say Lamont, Bakti, Keshlov, Arami, Lazar, Yerko, take a look at what Lavan, the Aramian, wanted to do to our father Yaakov. Sheparo, Lavazar, Elo, Anskar, and Paro only decreed against the males. The Lavan, Biki, Sakos, Akol, Lavan wanted to destroy everything, Shedema. And this is the first posset of this parsha of reading when one brings the Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash. The Aramian Lavan wanted to destroy my father. He went down to Egypt. He lived there in the same yard. This is so. What's going to happen over here right now is within one phrase. The story of 210 years in this time is summed up. He lived there. He came with. They were only a small family. By Yishon, the Goy Godol, there he became a great nation. That was really the gist of last week's shiur. That the wealth of Mitzrayim is that in Mitzrayim we became a great nation. Otsum, mighty, or rod, and many. Harkosha v'sumayach. All right, wait. I don't know what your plans are. But if you want to come the day after Pesach, I am not going to be here. I'm not going to be here because I'm going to have to watch my wife put away the Pesach, and the rest of you most probably will be unpacking your suitcases from wherever you may be coming, use the day after Pesach. I don't know if Rabbi Adler is going to say this year. All right, so those of you know, He's a blessed workhorse at Shin Kimin in Man El, to you understand. Anyway, he's a great guy, but I will not be here. It's okay. Have a wonderful, wonderful, lovely, and healthy, happy Yom Kippur.